This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.
We are so excited to welcome today's guest, Dr. Jennifer Wolkin. Dr. Jen is a licensed clinical neuropsychologist, speaker, mental health advocate, and author. She also has an incredible Instagram account, and you need to follow her.
That's how we found her.
Her book, Quick Calm, debuts on April 1st, and we are going to talk all about it today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It is truly an honor. I've been an admirer of your work for a long time now.
Thank you.
That's the cool thing about the internet, though, right? Like,
Yes.
It is, you know, to find other amazing, cool therapists doing great work. And I was saying, like, a little bit earlier before we started recording, is that mindfulness is such a buzzword right now. And I think that it's been complicated. And I love that this is quick and easy, because your book really is, to break it down step by step. This is truly an amazing intro. If you're someone who's thought about mindfulness, thought about present moment awareness, you have to buy Quick Calm. So please tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, no, first of all, thanks for saying that, because, and I'm sure maybe we'll dive into this a little bit later, but it's not the book I thought I would write. And also it's the book that I feel blessed to have written. When I sent my very first draft in, I literally sent this like huge compilation of like science and jargony terms, and I knew that they would edit it. I just needed to do it. And, you know, we can talk about why I had that need. I know you did a self-compassion podcast last week, which was excellent, by the way. And they got back to me and they're like, this is lovely. You have like 100-something citations, and also you need to edit it. So thank you for saying that it's practical.
All your hard work.
It's actionable. And I'd like to think it still reads like, you know, in a way that people can learn something that they didn't know before. Mm-hmm. So my background is, I'm a health psychologist. So the intersection of medical and mental health and the understanding of how biological, psychological, and sociological factors come together. And also then I did a 2-year fellowship in neuropsychology, and that's the study really of cognitive functioning. So I would often assess patients to see how their memory was functioning and their language abilities and executive functions. And it was an extraordinary experience. It was also deeply exhausting and difficult. And that's where I really jumped into mindfulness practice, my own practice. I had studied it beforehand, especially on my internship, but this is where I dove in. How do you say that? I don't know.
You know,
does it matter?
We are not great. We're not.
I don't think
sure.
It matters, right? It doesn't matter.
You can make up your own words.
Let's just make up our own words. Yeah. And yeah, that's where it became a practice for me. And I've been practicing ever since.
Wow, that's amazing. And so I want to hear a little bit about, like, I think it's very hard sometimes for therapists to break it down. So what, and you did this in a great way, because we love to talk, right? So, you know, sometimes we can overcomplicate things, just, you know, not talking personally at all or at all about the profession. But so tell us, like, what ultimately led to QuickCom?
Yeah, so I think it was at first my need to have all of the practices that I've been practicing and I've acquired in one place. So it came from this sense of, like, maybe conscientiousness. I'm, like, skipping over the word neuroses. Notice how I'm using conscientiousness. I'm using conscientiousness instead of neuroses, of course. And then I realized, wow, maybe this can be of service. Maybe I can put this out into the world in a way in which it can be helpful for people, and to really sort of make practice actionable, and also just really give and really translate and share the science of mindfulness. Because no matter how much we say we're going to practice, I always think we need a why. We can say it from here until tomorrow, I'm going to practice. If we really don't have a solid why, I don't know if it's really that compelling. And to me, I don't know about you, but, you know, hearing things like it changes the brain, like, really does and can, that's pretty compelling to me. And so I really wanted to, you know, get that information across. And then also what was important to me, and now I'm the one talking so much, what was so important to me was to really make practice doable insofar as, like, no excuses, right? Mm. So I had this concept of, what if we practice 5 minutes a day every day instead of 1 hour once a week, right? 5 minutes is greater than 0 minutes. And I know already that the brain thrives on consistency and repetition. And what if we cued our brains every single day for just 5 minutes? And if we don't think we have 5 minutes, look at your scrolling history. And that's not to shame. That's not to judge. That's not to blame. I mean, hello, I'm a card carrying scroller. Who's not? And also, it's just eye-opening to become aware that we really do have 5 minutes.
Yeah. Which I think it's so nice to put it into those, that, like, small yeah. practices, because it feels less overwhelming for people, right? Where, you know, if there's this expectation of, okay, well, you have to do 20 minutes a day, it's so much easier to be like, I'm not going to do that, right? Like, I'm going to focus on other things. And also the fact that you're giving such actionable measures, I think, is really, really incredible for people, because we know that the insight is really helpful, right? Like, it's helpful to have that insight into ourselves, into what's helpful, but to actually have the action behind it and what we can do, I think just helps people on another level. And so, go ahead.
Well, it just seems also more accessible, right? Because, like, you hear so often of, like, people say, like, I want to take up a meditation practice, or I want to take up this practice. And then there's also people that are charging thousands of dollars to teach people these skills, right? That is actually not very realistic and manageable for most of us to have the time, to have the finances, to have the bandwidth to do that. So to say to someone, instead, here, I can teach you to do this at home in a reasonable way. And there's also, I think, sometimes a security and a safety in that for a lot of people to explore that at home, as opposed to, like, you know,
it's just, I mean, you go to a class and do it with other people.
Or you can go to therapy. Some people don't have access to therapy. And it's important for us to remember that.
Right. And that's an unfortunate truth that actually most people don't. I mean, we're lucky in that sense. We're blessed. But I think it's really important to acknowledge that most people don't. We're trying to advocate and, you know, create that space. Most people don't. So I'm sorry to cut you off, and also just want to say,
please do. Please.
I just want to say I'm grateful that you brought that up.
Because it's true. I mean, and I think things like this, like doing podcasts, you know, writing books, like that there are so many ways to learn about this, learn about mindfulness and teach yourself. where it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to therapy or go to a group. And you had mentioned how mindfulness changes the brain or affects the brain. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I really think that's fascinating.
Sure. Do you want me to define mindfulness first?
Please.
Yes.
I'd like to start with that. I like to start with a definition, and it's not mine. It's just the one that I use, and it's by the-
Teach us everything. We're sitting back now.
Yeah, we'll keep talking. Yeah.
No, no, you teach me so much. I'm just so glad to be here.
We're sitting back in our seats. We're here. I'm taking notes, baby. Let's do this.
Oh my God, you too. I love you both so much.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
I feel like I know you forever. The definition that I use most in my practice is the one by Jon Kabat-Zinn. And he's the one who, you know, stripped mindfulness of its religious underpinnings, or, you know, yeah, or like Buddhist underpinnings, though we'll go back to, we'll step back. Jon Kabat-Zinn, he's the one who stripped mindfulness of its religious underpinnings and brought it to the West as a psychological intervention. And he defined mindfulness as a state of greater awareness cultivated by paying attention on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally. So on purpose, meaning as opposed to on autopilot mode, in the present moment, as opposed to either in the past filled with regret or in the future filled with catastrophe. And then non-judgmentally, sitting back as witnesses, non-judgmental, compassionate witnesses to our own experience. And I can dive in more later and go through each one. That's basically the definition I used. And it's, I think, rooted in the science of why it's beneficial. So getting to rewiring the brain. The reason I say rewiring, a lot of people ask me, I have this like slogan, or I don't know if it's mine, but I use it. I like to say that mindfulness helps us rewire for wellness. And why rewire and not wire? Well, I guess because when our brain is dysregulated, and let's be real, most of us have had an experience, whether it's a trauma experience or chronic stress, where our brains have been through a lot. I mean, just even take this past year. And so what happens is that those things impact our brain structure and functioning. So the amygdala increases in size from chronic stress and trauma experience. The prefrontal cortex and the amygdala stop talking or don't talk as much, right? And so here's the thing, mindfulness can help us rewire, and that's mindfulness can help us rewire, and that's attributed to the concept of neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is the understanding that our brain is malleable. We tend to think of this concept in rose-colored glasses. Right? Our brain is malleable. Wow, that's great. We can just do all the things and it change it and it's great. And we think of change in this positive sense. But like I just said, neuroplasticity also applies to trauma and chronic stress. So that also changes the brain. So when our brain changes in response to those, we need to use something, a practice, to rewire for wellness. And there have been so many studies now about mindfulness's impact on the brain. And for one thing, do you want me to get specific here?
Please.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Let me geek out on the brain. So what happens is our amygdala shrinks, our hippocampus grows, our prefrontal cortex grows, and the connection between the amygdala and our prefrontal cortex is strengthened. So just let me back up. So the prefrontal cortex is literally the part of our brain that almost like sits behind our eyes. And that's the part that's important for planning and higher order processes like thinking and judgment. And you can imagine when that goes offline and we have a big amygdala that's sort of like, you can imagine like sending out this siren signal, like woo, woo, something's up, there's a threat. We're going to be in perpetual panic. We're going to be in a perpetual state of dysregulation. And that's true, by the way, even if there is no actual threat. So sometimes our brain is dysregulated to the point where even no threat is seen as a threat. And so that's where we get the idea of hypervigilance. We're hypervigilant because our amygdala is larger. And the connection between the frontal lobe and the amygdala is sort of severed again, or it's just weakened. And that part of our brain that is responsible for judgment, planning, working memory is offline. And so what happens with consistent mindfulness practice is that that connection is strengthened and the amygdala shrinks. So it's not as apt to sort of go off like a siren. It's not as apt to go off like a siren. It's not as susceptible to perceiving threat in the environment when there actually is none.
It's important for you to know that very soon you'll be receiving a note of Jen confessing her love to you.
I love Jen, talking about the bride. Just
Jen,
like,
is honest, getting off.
I am. I really am. I just love hearing about
it's so cool.
The brain connection. Because yeah. Also, I think what's important too is, like, we talk a lot about, and just there's a lot of talk about neuroplasticity in, like, children, right? Because their brain is developing. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fact that we can talk about neuroplasticity in adults and how you can make those changes even as an adult, because I think that clients will believe that, okay, like, I had this trauma happen to me when I was younger, and so my brain is wired in this very specific way, which means it's stuck like that. And so the fact that you are pointing to the fact that our brains are so malleable in adulthood is, I think, just such an important thing to mention.
I love that. I love that you said it. For me, it's honestly one of the most empowering things. I mean, I don't know how one could have lived with my ruminating tendencies. I don't know how one could have lived way back when the idea was that the brain was fixed, that the brain that you're born with is the brain that you live with your entire life, and there's no chance for change. I mean, talk about learned helplessness.
Right. It's like, why would anyone try to change anything,
right?
Or do anything, even go to therapy, make any sort of changes at all? And so that's why I think, like, that is such an essential point, that you can make those changes in adulthood.
And again, I think it's important to mention that it does take consistency. Right? It doesn't happen overnight, just like you go to the gym and you lift weights and you don't get stronger overnight, but you do. And of course it's harder to see because we can't see our neurons, you know, and the new connections they're making, and we can't see our amygdala actually become, you know, smaller. However, it is, or at least not yet. And I guess you can, if you're put into a functional MRI or an MRI, that's not happening for the layperson, right? You know, every day. So it's harder to see, and I think less tangible, which is why I think that it's harder for people to rationalize practice. You will start to feel it, though. I want to go back to what you said, Jen, about children and neuroplasticity. That is a topic I adore. I believe in all the things, early intervention. I am a huge advocate for that. I do want to say, however, though, even though as adults, we still can evoke the concept of neuroplasticity to rewire for wellness, it's not going to be as easy, right?
Let's get real.
So, I mean, I'm literally
a foreign language.
No, I literally was going to say that.
It's true. Right. It's definitely harder.
Yeah. So I was going to say, mindfulness for kids, in my humble opinion, is where it's at. And can you imagine our generation if we learned mindfulness?
I can't imagine.
So
if
we have
any of the tactics that, like, we know now,
right,
as a therapist, as a child, I would be a completely different human.
Things would be so different.
Yeah, I would just be in a lot less therapy, probably.
Yeah, same. Actually,
but it's so true. Like, this was not a conversation. The fact that now, like, mindfulness in schools, there's mindfulness summer camps, like this, like, we never heard of the word mindfulness.
No, it was not a thing.
I was like 22, yeah. I think.
And I feel like, yes, it's still just a buzzword in some ways. And also, okay, I'm okay with that, right?
Yeah, at least it's a word. At least people are saying
it. And right, as long as it's out there. I mean, yes, get your definition, you know, a little bit straight and understand a little bit the scientific underpinnings and how it can benefit. And also, as long as we're saying it. So it's like both and, you know, everything in moderation kind of thing.
Yes.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Okay, so the book is this amazing thing. So you really talk about it's three easy to consume mindfulness techniques, right? So you talk a little bit about formal practice, informal practice. So I have to ask you before we go into this a little bit more, which one's your favorite?
You know, I've been asked that a lot lately, and you know, I really have to. I'm you know, of course, I'm like self-critical and like I have to think of the best answer and what sounds smartest, and then I always fall right. I'm just being real here, ladies. I know you too, you're so real, so I just wanted to bring it.
Yeah, so listen, it's so true. In this field, it feels like you have to say the right one. Yes. And yeah, the most informed one, and it's like actually sometimes the one that I like the best is just like the easy one,
right? Literally, I always viscerally always end up saying mindful coffee drinking. Which we're doing
right now. Right now, together. Oh,
cheers, lady. But what if we like noticed it in our hand, the coffee cup, right? What if we like noticed how it felt? You know, is there a certain weight? Is there a certain heaviness? Then could we look at it? What color? Oh, yours are lighter than mine. Just saying.
Mine's like a drop of coffee mostly.
Add some coffee.
I'm like basically just drinking cream in the morning.
And then what Michael Scott on The Office. I was thinking mine needs more, but yeah, like it's funny to look like mine is a lot more.
Yours
foam.
Is just foam.
Mine's just foam here, at this point.
But here's the thing: let's look and not judge, right? Okay, I know. Sure. I was the one who did. But like, let's look and notice without judgment. Even though I am secretly judging you for drinking milk and not coffee.
I understand.
So let's just go with the fact that we're looking, we're not judging. Look at that color. You know, do you know anything else that looks like that color? And then see if you can you know, bring it up to your nose? Does it smell? Can you smell the coffee? What does it smell like?
The straw.
Well, it's funny because my first reaction to looking at mine, like I said, has a lot of foam. I feel like mine looks like an English muffin. It has a lot of nooks and crannies.
Yum. I love that.
Yeah, so mine looks a little bit like a toasted English muffin, and that gave me a lot of comfort to think about.
That's so nice.
And I don't think I've ever looked at the foam of my latte before.
Yeah, so there you go.
How fun.
So you looked at it, and then, right, we're going to bring it to our mouth and just take a nice taste.
Cream.
See if you can savor that. You're so cute. See if you can savor that, right? Like, what does it taste like? And can I notice? Can I just let it linger for a moment?
Is yours even gumming?
Yes.
And then just notice how it feels going down and repeat.
That, I don't think I realized it's very cold.
Yes, mine too. But we're all drinking iced coffee. Oh, wait, are you? No.
Yours is warm.
And I didn't even realize how cold it was until just now. And then I'm like, this is so cold. Like, I can't believe I'm still drinking this.
Right.
But well, what's amazing is that you're in greater awareness of it now.
Yes. I mean, what an easy thing to literally do to just start your day.
And what was happening while we were doing that? We weren't in the past regretting or ruminating over things we could have, should have, would have. And we weren't trying to control our futures or worry about it. We were literally with our cups of coffee.
That's it. I love that. And I think that one, at least for me, and I don't know how you guys feel, but like one of the challenging times for me to be mindful or present is when I'm doing a task that I'm like not enjoying, or I guess I'm just expecting to not enjoy. And so I want to get it done so quickly. So, and so while I'm doing it, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do after.
Yep.
And so like washing the dishes, and we had talked about this maybe a few days ago, where I'm like, oh God, I just want to get this done. I'm like doing it as fast as possible. As opposed to being mindful in those moments to say, okay, what does this feel like for me? What kind of food am I washing off the plate? So,
I actually have mindful dishwashing practice in the book.
Yes, yes. See, that one I like. My harder one is laundry. I do not want to fold laundry.
I do it while watching TV. Yes. So I'm not mindful of what I'm doing. Yeah.
And I think
I don't do mindful laundry folding. Yeah. I mean, I'm on totally in a show.
But however, dishwashing, yes. Yeah.
Right. Dishwashing, yes. And also we could adopt it. If we wanted to, we could adopt it as a practice, right? Just take all the tenets that we've learned and apply it to our laundry folding.
Well, and it's funny things to always think about. I always say, one of the things we always say about like with kids is just add water. So if your kid's having a tough day, have you heard this like saying before? Like just add water. So like right, like if they're having a bad day, give them a bath or play with outside the sprinkler or something. And like I was just thinking about that in terms of like I like the sensation of water. I think that that is very helpful. And so for me, the idea of like touching water and being in tune while dishwashing, that I can really vibe with.
Mm. Oh, I love that. Will you try the practice and report back?
Yes.
Yes. We can do it.
I think we're going to have to film it and we have to put it on.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I think that's
Why don't we all do a dishwashing video and we'll see what's up.
What comes up.
If we could really do it. But again, it's not about right or wrong. That's the whole point of this. It's not about right or wrong. It's literally showing up. And the best thing about the work, and I really try to emphasize this in the book, is you can always start over. Literally, if you notice your mind wandering, gently and compassionately bring it back to that present moment experience of that dish, what it looks like, what the water feels like, etc., or whether we're using our breath. Literally, if our mind wanders, bring our attention gently back to the present moment neutral sensation of the inhale and the exhale. And that's the beauty, because consistency is key and so is compassion. We can start over anytime, right? We can do practice, we can practice and engage in practice for 10 straight days and then forget 10 and then literally start all over. And it's my belief that our healing is not lost. No healing is ever lost. Anything that we do for our wellness matters and accumulates towards our greater well-being.
I think that that piece of not being judgmental towards yourself is just in any practice, you know, I think is so important to recognize, right? Because we're human, right? If we're practicing something, we're going to forget. It's going to, you know, there might be times where we're too busy. And when you start to be hard on yourself, and once again, we had a whole episode on self-compassion right before this. And you know, it feels like, oh, all is lost then, right? If I didn't practice it today, that means all is lost. Mm-hmm. So I love that you said that. Like, I think it's so essential. I have a question about something that I think people struggle with more recently is, you know, because of the pandemic, everything has moved to Zoom. People are doing a lot of meetings on their computers. And so I'm wondering what you would recommend in terms of mindfulness if people are just on Zoom meetings all day, because it just automatically takes you out of the present moment. Whereas if you're in a meeting in person, like you can kind of be more present with yourself. So I'm wondering, what would you recommend for someone who is maybe having burnout from being on Zoom all the time?
I'll tell you what I do.
Please.
So this is the personal, right? Personal, and this is personal and professional.
I love it. Mine always blend together too.
So even while I'm seeing clients, and you can imagine I am on Zoom all day also. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll literally ground my feet into the floor and just feel my feet in the floor as a mindfulness practice to get myself back in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And I'll also, there's a way to do diaphragmatic breathing that is sort of subtle, right? I'll breathe and it won't have to be this thing where my clients are you okay? I'll literally just take a few breaths and just come back to myself, come back to the present, come back to my client. And those are a lot of the strategies that I give. I also really believe in boundaries. So of course, if you're in a meeting, you're not gonna, or especially right with a client, you're not gonna just say, hey, 1 minute, 1 second, especially when, can you imagine? Oh my God. Imagine when they're saying something, right, that's leading to insight. However, what I would suggest for anyone is in between meetings, in between clients, whatever clients mean for you, take a moment for yourself, whether that's stretching, whether that's unclenching your shoulders away from your ears, letting your jaw hang, letting your fists uncurl into all your fingers, whether that's mindfully sipping some more coffee, whatever it is, take moments for yourself. Don't just go from Zoom to Zoom to Zoom.
I was think that
does that resonate?
That resonates so much. As you were telling me, I was like unclenching my my hand.
A little bit like a personal attack, but a very reasonable personal attack.
Reasonable personal attack.
Because I was, but as you were talking,
remember, compassion.
Yes, right. But it's funny because like, as you're talking about it, like we like have this jute rug, I think it's called, you know, one of these super shedders, jute whatever rugs, the fuck you call it.
Super shedders.
And I was grounding my feet in it. And I was like, this is kind of lovely.
Do you have all of the pieces of the rug on your feet
a bit? It feels a bit exfoliating, but I have literally never put my toes into this rug.
Should I take my shoes off?
Yes, you should.
I thought you just did that. That really, oh, I love that.
It was very nice.
Just practiced.
Right? Like, this is amazing. So, okay, so now we have to do, for everyone listening, if you're in the car, maybe you can be aware of where your hands are on the wheels, or maybe if you're walking around the house, you can see how your feet feel on the floor. Like, as you listen to this, what would it be like for you to increase your mindfulness? Okay, so one, I'm obsessed with you. Two.
Obsessed.
Okay.
Can you just follow us around and tell us?
It's mutual.
Your voice is also giving, like, it's soothing. And like, it's so loving and kind. I want you in my head all the time. So I am wondering, could we leave people with something? Can we do one of these meditations? Will you take us through?
Yes. I mean, I don't
choice,
want
choice, baby.
if they're in the car, I don't want them doing this.
Okay, you can't do it in the car.
But if you're in the car, don't do this. If you're parked, do this. And okay. If you're anywhere else, do this. And then you can come back and listen to it after your drive.
Deal.
Love it.
Yes.
So you want, would you like a breath?
Yes.
Exercise?
Breath? Anything.
Okay. Give it to me.
We're ready.
We're hungry.
We're going to do it too.
Okay. We're going to sit up straight, but not too straight that our backs are like a board, right? We're going to unclench, take the time to just notice our, you know, buttocks in the chair or on the couch, touching the cushion. And then if it feels safe, and only if it feels safe, go ahead and close your eyes. And I'm going to do that as well. And then see if you can inhale through the nose with your mouth closed, filling your diaphragm like it's a balloon. And then on the exhale, let your diaphragm go back to your spine, and I'll explain. So inhale, and I'll guide rather. So inhale through the nose, hold, and exhale through pursed lips. Letting that diaphragm deflate like it's a balloon deflating. And then take a pause. We don't want to just right away jump to the next breath, because the point of this is that we're moving our breath in a way that's more essential to elicit our rest and digest response. So we want to get away from that shallow chest breathing and really breathe into our diaphragm. So we're going to inhale again through the nose, mouth closed, inhale, hold, and exhale. And pause. And see if you can just for the next few find your own rhythm of inhale, hold, exhale, pause. Just do a few. There's no right or wrong way. Your mind is gonna wander. We are human, our minds wander. Just notice where the mind goes, whether it's to your to-do list, your hunger pains, that thing you said yesterday. Then gently bring your attention right back to that breath, that inhale and that exhale. Just a few more moments. And even if you have to do that 100 times, bring your attention back to the breath. Even if you notice 100 times that your mind's wandering, and you have to bring it back to the breath, that's okay. You're still practicing, you're still showing up. And let's take another one together. Inhale, hold, exhale through pursed lips. Pause. And then what I like to do now, and it's a little woo, I get it, is I like to put my hand on my heart center, just offer myself some gratitude for taking the time. I'll feel my genness, my meanness. So I want you to feel your you-ness. Your heart is beating. Sometimes I'll say, it's okay, sweetheart. And then let's take one more breath together. And then this time on the exhale, we're going to let out an exhale sigh. So inhale, hold, exhale sigh. I know it's awkward sometimes, especially if the first time you're doing it, and then pause. And slowly open your eyes. Slowly open your eyes and come back to center.
It's like going on a tropical vacation. I was getting tired there.
No matter, right. No, that's that, right. Sometimes you can get tired. And again, it the way you feel after really doesn't matter, right? I mean, there is the chance for quick calm, and also practicing really just sort of sets up our relationship for a lifelong practice. Mm-hmm. And while we're doing it, we're cultivating, you know, compassion for ourselves, because when our minds wander, we're learning to non-judgmentally notice where it goes and then just gently bring it back to the breath or to the dishes, whatever we're practicing.
Ooh, wow. I am so relaxed.
I'm feeling good. Dr. Jen, how? We love you. Let's hang
Thank
out.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you?
Thank you. They could find me on Instagram at Dr. Jen Psych _. And I'd be very humbled if people found the book and that it was of service. Please contact me if you do. I'm happy to journey with you. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Bookshop, you name it. If you want all of those in one place, you can go to my website, quickcombook.com.
And all of this will be linked on our social media for anyone. Dr. Jen, thank you for being here
thank
today.
Thank you so much.
I'm feeling great. What a wonderful morning to spend with you.
Thank you.
Check out QuickCom. You have to get it. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. So nice to meet you.